Okay, Simon Tzadi Aleph. So, if you recall, we did most of Simon Tzadi Aleph already when we did Simon Tzadi. So we just have the first couple of Sifis. So, the Gemara in Chulin, the Mishnah says, Sorer Adam Basar Gvina B'mitpachas Achas Uvilvad Shelo Yihu Nogin Zebezeh. So the Gemara says, V'chi Nogin Zebezeh My have etzonin betonin. No, why is it that you have to make sure that your meat and your cheese don't touch each other? If they do, so who cares? It's just cold and cold. Amar baye nihi deklipa lo baye hadacha mi lo baye. Still, even though your meat and your cheese are both cold, should your meat touch your cheese, they must be washed. So we see from this Gemara a couple of things. Number one, as we see, that when two things touch each other that are cold, they need to be washed. Number two, we see that l'chatchila, you shouldn't allow them to touch each other. And the Rashba explains that this presumably is because we're concerned you might forget to wash. And therefore, they said l'chatchila, you shouldn't allow your meat to touch your cheese. The Rashba also cites, in the name of the Baal Ha'itar, and this is quoted in the Tur, that this is true with respect to basar, Delav orche badacha. But let's say it's raw meat, so if a person usually were to wash their raw meat before cooking it, so then there would be no problem allowing their raw meat or their raw chicken to touch their cheese. Why? Since the concern that you will forget to wash it isn't relevant here, because anyway you always wash your meat or your cheese before cooking it, so therefore even l'chatchila there would be no concern that the meat touches the cheese. Not all Rishonim agree to this. Rashba, the Ra'ah, in the Bedek HaBayis, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, in the Bayis Dalet, writes that even if it's Urche B'Hadacha, it's still Aser to let them touch each other. The Gemara says, across the board, you're not allowed to let kosher touch non-kosher or meat to touch cheese. The Mishmeres Habayis in the Rashba's Docha, and he says, no, I'll bring you a pasuk that it's mutter to allow kosher to not touch non-kosher, because the pasuk says, it's coming up, Vayikrates, Vayasimu achalavim al hachazos. So of course, chalev is aser, and it says that they put the chalev on the meat. So you see that lechatchila, there's no problem to allow kosher to touch non-kosher. And it's only when there's a concern that you might forget to wash it that Chazal said you shouldn't do it l'chatchila. So that's what the Gra writes in Tzadi Aleph Sifkat and Beis, says that the Ra'ah could simply be Docha, that Midoraisa there's no problem, but Midorabanan they still assert it. So what would the Rashba respond? Some of the Rashba would say that either they wouldn't have been misakein something that's a keneged a mefurish pasuk, taz hayadua, or some other point. The Gra also says that you can't bring a raif on the pasukim because kohanim is rizume. One way or the other, we paskin like the Rashba, like the Baal Ha'itar, that if there's no chshash that you will forget to wash it, it is mutter lechatchila. And the Badei HaShulchan suggests, this is a speculative, there's no raya for this in a text, but he says, what is it that the Rashba and the Ra'ah are arguing about? Perhaps they're arguing about the following. They're arguing about whether hadacha alone is always enough. The Rashba says hadacha alone is always enough, and therefore, if there's no concern that you'll do hadacha, because it's darko l'hadiyach, so it's going to be mutter. And maybe the Ra'ah thinks that sometimes hadacha is insufficient, and therefore they said, l'chatchila, you should never do it. Now, this is going to be a running theme throughout this siman, which is under what circumstances is hadacha enough, and under what circumstances do perhaps you need more than hadacha. So that's the idea that you get from the Tur and the Rishonim. And everything in this siman, at least the first siman that we're doing today, goes very smoothly and simply until you get to the Ramah. And the Ramah throws in a monkey wrench that makes everything very confusing. So what does the Ramah say? So before we get to the Ramah, if you would have asked me, is there any problem putting, let's say, cold kosher food on a clean, cold plate, I would have said, no, no problem whatsoever. What are you worried about? It's clean, it's cold, no problem. And this doesn't violate what the Bala Iter says or the like, because that's talking about tray food touching kosher food, or dirty tray dishes touching kosher food. But if it's cold and it's clean, there should be no problem whatsoever. However, the Rama assumed that when the Bala Iter said that l'chatchila, you're not allowed to put kosher food on a treif plate, he was talking not about a dirty treif plate, but a clean treif plate. And the question then is, why is this so? Why is it that it's usher to put treif food on a clean treif plate, even if it's cold? Now, the truth is that if you look at the Taras HaBayis on the Chaf Aleph on the base, when he quotes the Baal Eter, it seems pretty clear that the Baal Eter was talking about a clean plate. Nevertheless, as we'll see, the Pashup Shat, the Rama assumes at least initially that we're talking about an unclean plate. It's not just the Rama. If you look at the Taz, for example, in Sifkat and Gimel, the Taz says, Devadai gam hatur mayri kan shakli naki, sorry, hatur delo chash el iser balua. So the tour, when he says you're not allowed to, quoting the Bala Iter, you're not allowed to put something on a treif plate, it must be talking about where the plate is clean. Why? Why is that so? Pashut, he says, De'ilu eno naki me'iser vade b'chol gavni yesh lasor. It's pashut that if it's dirty, it's asur. So when the tour says that l'chatchila, you're not allowed to put kosher food on a treif plate, it must be, it's a clean plate. The Rebbe Akiva Eger, if you look on that Taz, says, why is this so pashut? Maybe the chiddush is that, no, I would have thought that if the plate is dirty, it's mutter, because you'll do hadacha. Kamash malan l'chatchila, you shouldn't rely on the fact you'll do hadacha. And the Rebbe Akiva Eger gives an answer, maybe the Taz assumed that way, l'shitaso, because the Taz thought the whole chiddush of the Bala Iter over the Gemara is by kli, and if it's actually dirty, there's no difference between a kli and ochel, so therefore al karachof, the Bala Iter must have been talking about a clean kli and the like. So the Taz, the Rama, seem to take for granted that when the Bala Iter said, l'chatchila, you shouldn't put kosher food on a treif kli, even though it's cold, that's talking about a clean kli. So if so, the Rama says, then our siman, the Tur, and the Bala Iter are saying you're not allowed to put kosher food on a clean, cold treif kli. And the Rama says, well, this contradicts a whole slew of other sources. What does it contradict? Number one, the Gemara Pesachim on Daf Lamed Amud Beis says that a kli that you use for chametz could be used for matzah, assuming it's cold and clean, right? So why is that? Right? If you have a fruit bowl, so you could use the same fruit bowl for Pesach that you use for the rest of the year, or potatoes, or whatever, or maybe even things that actually was boleya chametz, but is cold. We'll see the details of that. So you see in Hilchos, in the Gemara Pesachim, and this is the way we paskin in Orach Chaim, Siman Taf Nun Aleph, the Torah says explicitly that as long as it's cold and clean, you're allowed to use a chametz dikakli. So there's a stira between the Tur in Yoredeus and in Tzadi Aleph, cold and clean is Aser, and Orach Chaim Taf Nun Aleph, where we say cold and clean is no problem. Likewise, the Orach Chaim cites the Ra'ah that says that if you have a Goyish clean, that's kli, that's totally clean, you could put spices on it. Again, this is against the Tur in Siman Tzadi Aleph. You could also ask, the Rama himself doesn't ask this, but the Shach notes this, that the Tur in Siman Tzadi Dalet, Sif Gimel, says that if you have a kli, shabala basar b'chalav, you're allowed to put things on it that are cold, like fruits. Why? There's no iser, you're not nenat me guf ha'iser, because it's cold. So you see that the Tur takes for granted that you're allowed to use basar b'chalav kelim for cold things. And finally, the Rashba himself, Chuvos Chelak Aleph Simen Ayin Vav, writes explicitly that you're allowed to put cold on a clean milchik plate. This also is not asked by the Rama, but Lachar would be a problem. So Bekitzer, the Ramah asks, we see in numerous places that there is no problem using clean, cold dishes that are treif, yet the Tur and the in our Siman and Siman Sadi Aleph seems to prohibit it. So the Ramah has four answers to this question. Three of them are in a Darkei Moshe, and there's also an additional one in the Toras Chatas. The answer in Toras Chatas, we'll say first, is the simple and most straightforward answer, what you would intuit initially, which is that it depends whether the plate is totally clean or not. Namely, when the Tur in our Siman asered using treif dishes, even bitsonein, that's talking about a case where the plate was not absolutely clean. But if it was absolutely clean, it's mutter. And that's where all the other sources, like Hilchos Pesach, where we say you're allowed to use treif dishes, it's talking about where they're absolutely clean. Now that seems to be a very simple, straightforward answer. But the Ramah doesn't think that this is the Iker answer. So he goes on to give a number of other answers, and he doesn't, as we'll see, Paskin like this answer. We'll talk about later why the Ramah did not like this answer. So what other answers are there? So the next answer he gives is it depends if it's used moist or belach or yavesh. When we're mako, that's when everything is dry. So for example, you're allowed to put your matzah, right? Let's say you have a challah dish, right? That you put your challah on, so you clean it off, and you're allowed to put your matzah on it. Why? Everything is dry. But when is it that the Bala Itter and the Torah Machmir and Arasim, and that's for something that's moist. What's the problem? When things are moist, they're more sticky, there's more of a need for hadacha and cleaning it and the like. So basically all the sources that say clean and cold are mutter for treif dishes, that's clean, cold, and dry. And here it's clean, cold, and moist, so it's usser. The next answer he gives, yeah?
That's talking about that which you're putting into it now. Not what it was.
Correct. Okay. Not what it was originally, but what it is now. Right now, you're using something dry. That's sufficient. He writes, "Delo aser l'shtamesh ela bo ela baser kiyotze bo deis be lachluches." Right? You can't use baser on it now. Aval davar yavesh kegon matzah bekli chametz shari. Okay. Answer number three is that you could be machalik between chametz and shari surin. This is a very interesting answer. Usually we're always super machmir on chametz. Here he's saying, no, maybe we're more mekel by chametz.
Tur is mekel by chametz?
Yeah, the Tur and Tufnan Aleph or Chaim is mekel on chametz. And here in Yerodeism and Sadi Aleph, he's machmir. So maybe chametz is more kal. Interesting why that would be. Maybe it would be impossible otherwise. He doesn't tell you. Interestingly enough, the Shach brings three out of the four answers of the Ramah. He doesn't even cite this answer. Maybe because it's so counterintuitive.
Chametz is usually dry, maybe.
Okay, well then it's sort of back to the other answer. That was the previous answer. And finally, the fourth answer he gives is that it depends if it was bala b'chamin or bala b'tzonein. If the kli was bala b'chamin, like in our case, what made the dish a treif dish? Because it was bala b'chamin. So then you have to be machmir. But if it's bala b'tzonein, meaning to say the blios entered the kli through cold, how? Let's say malicha or kvisha or the like. So that's when we're mako. And he writes that that answer is ikker. Now, the problem is that the answer might be ikker, but it lechora doesn't make any sense. First of all, in general, what are we worried about? If the plate is clean and cold, who cares whether it was bolea b'chamin or bolea b'tzonein? Lamaisa, nothing's coming out. It's clean and it's cold. And elamai, you're going to say, no, maybe the Ramah, let's say, was choshesh that if you do it b'tzonein, you'll do it b'chamin. Okay, so if we're concerned you're going to do it b'chamin, then even if it was bala b'tzonein, it should be a problem.
No.
Right? Bala b'tzonein, kavush, melicha, it says bala b'tzonein. Bala means blios, no? So if you're concerned, so be concerned here as well. Now, if you look at how, so the Ramah is a pella. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, he combines the chumras of two of his answers. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah paskins in Sif Beis, v'davka davar sheyesh b'lach luchas k'tzas, aval davar yavesh mamish, Im lo bala kli rak bitzonein mutter laniach bo davar yavish below adaf haklal. So A, he requires two things. Number one is it has to be nishtamish bo bitzonein, right, the final answer. And number two is even then only yavish is mutter to put on that. So what's the pshat in the Ramah? So the Shach writes about this Ramah that the Dvarim Tmuhim Mitchilasan Ve'ad Sofan doesn't make any sense. So what about the kashas of the Ramah? It says the answer is simple, that it depends if it was cleaned or not. The sources that say it's mutter to use treif kalim are talking about clean treif kalim. The sources that say it's aser are talking about dirty treif kalim. Simple. And that is, in fact, the psak of the Shach and the Pri Chadash and the Pri Megadim, that if the plate is clean and you're using it for cold, it's mutter, at least Oaf and Arai. We'll talk about where that comes from later. The Taz also struggles with this Ramah, Sifkat and Gimel, and he says that... you should change the girsa in the Ramah. Anyway, he thinks it doesn't read straight. And it's not that the Ramah requires two things, it requires either one. So either you need to be Davar Yavesh or Nishtamish Bekli Rak Batzelme. But still, the Taz agrees to the fundamental point that at least clean and cold could still be a problem if it was Bala Bechamin and you're now it's now Lach. Again, not at all clear why. Yes. So the Ramah, the Taz is in between. Is more machmir than Argirs and the Ramah, more Mekel than Argirs and the Ramah, more machmir than the Shach. Now, before we try to answer up for the Ramah, when you go through that long Shach, even though the Shach, you know, presents the Ramah as though it is like a ridiculous thing that doesn't begin to make sense, when you read through the Shach, you'll see that there's actually a number of a lot of evidence that supports at least some of the Ramah's conclusions. For example, the Shach writes that Tosos and Avodah Zarah Lamed Beis Amud Aleph and the Mordechai hold that it's Aser Lishtamesh B'davar Lach B'tzonim. And these are cited by the Mordechai and Siman Tzadi, by the Beis Yosef and Siman Tzadi Dalet. So the Shach tries to say, well, maybe that's only talking about Kli Cheres. Why should Kli Cheres be any different? Because the Chavos Das explains that the Shach is presumably based off of the Rashba. The Rashba on Kuf Yud Aleph on the base, the Imam Aschel Tzonin, writes that according to one opinion, since Kli Cheres B'liyaso Meruba, so it's Polet Af B'Tzonin. So there are a number of Rishonim, basically, that explicitly hold, you can't use Kalim B'Tzonin, like the Ramah. And the Shach says, okay, yeah, but they're talking about Kli Cheres. So that's point one. And then the Shach says, and moreover, we don't paskin that way. We paskin that even Kli Cheres, as long as it's totally clean, it's mutter. And that's the psak of the Mechaber and Siman Tzadi Dalet. Okay. Now then the Shach says that, well, the truth is there are a bunch of Rishonim that do seem to support the Ramah. Here the Shach is very honest. Even though he's trying to deflect the Ramah, he says, well, actually, according to the Rif and the Ramban and the Rambam and Shara Poskim, turns out the Ramah's right. Now, what does he mean over there? So this is really an issue in terms of the Girsa in the Gemara. And there's two Girsos in the Gemara in Psachim. The Rif's Girsa, as well as, again, the Rambam, the Ramban, and others, is that the Gemara says as follows. Kol akelim shenishtamish ben chametz b'tzonein, mutter lishtamish bahem matzah b'tzonein, chutz mi beis seor v'charoses. So what does the Gemara say? If you use them chametz tzonein, you could use matzah tzonein with the exception of if it was beis seor v'charoses. Sounds like if you used chametz chamin or beis seor v'charoses, then you can't use matzah even tzonein. So here, we have a large group of Rishonim, assuming, like the Ramah, that there's an Isser Ishtamshus Bekli B'tzonein. So the Ramah, the Shach writes, it's true that if you have the Gears of the Rush, there's no Raya from there. The Rush writes, Kol hakelim shenishtamish bahem chametz bitzonein mutar lishtamish bahem matzah chutz mi beisur v'charoses, which might mean mutar lishtamish bahem matzah b'chametz, right? So then you have no raya that there's an iser shtamshus ben matzah bitzonein at all. So it's true, there's no raya if you're goyish like the Rosh. But nevertheless, here we have a whole slew of Rishonim that do seem to support the Ramah's conclusion. Now, what's sort of interesting is the Shach doesn't tell you what to do with this at the end. He cites it, but he doesn't say, you know, what comes out from there. If you take a look at the Ran in Pesachim Tesamut Beis Tesamut Aleph Bedapi Arif, he says two Yeshuvim as to why this would be. Right, if you're goreis like the Rif, why is it? So the first answer is kli cheres she'en lo takana ela b'shvira chashinan shema yishahav yishtamish b'han b'chamin. We don't allow you to use chametz dika kelim, or for that matter, treif kelim that are kli cheres, because if you use them, at least maybe b'ofen kavua, we're concerned that you'll use it b'chamin, or second answer, kevan shecheres bolea harbe veino yoti midei dofio have kigufa iser hilkach kol heter shenogea bo bayadacha, along the lines of the Rashba, that klicheres is polite even betonin. So that's how you have to learn the Rif. Either it's a zera that you'll forget and you'll use chamin, or it's because klicheres are maflit more easily. Okay, so then the Shach writes, and the truth is that the Ramaz chiluk between davar shishtamshus that shabala b'chamin versus bala b'tzonin is actually based off of the Gemara. He writes, "Af al gab de meseches avodah zarah mechalik ben tashmisho b'chamin v'tashmisho b'tzonin." So, how is the Shach going to get out of that raya? So he says, "Well, that's talking about haynu l'shtamish ban heter chamin o kava shukiyotze bo." Yeah, the Gemara makes the chiluk of the Ramah, but that's to use it b'chamin, not to use it b'tzonin. Now that's a bit of a chiddush, because if it was bala b'tzonin, why should it be mutter to use b'chamin? That's the reason why the Ramah didn't learn like the Shach. Why did the Ramah assume that Gemara is talking about hishtamshus b'tzonin? Because he thought if it's talking about hishtamshus b'chamin, that should be aser bala b'tzonin. So again, the Shach doesn't tell you how he's going to deal with that kasha, how he's going to deal with that proof from the Ramah. Maybe the Shach would say, explain based off of the Rashba, that anything that's dark l'shtamish b'shefa is mutter, and anything that's bala b'tzonin is lo bala ela me'at, and therefore, it's not going to be bali de nesinas tam, and it's mutter even b'chamin. But again, we see that the Ramah's position is not so dismissible. That's a word. Fine. The Shach also notes that the Or Chos Chaim, at the very least, disagrees with his theory, because Or Chos Chaim says davar charif is mavliya b'tzonein even without dochka de sakina. So, b'kitzer, after you read the whole very long Shach, it turns out that there are a number of Rishonim that, at least under certain circumstances, were choshesh for tashmish b'tzonein, namely the Rif, at least by chametz, the Rashba by kli cheres, the Or Chos Chaim by Davar Charif, but the Shach said all these are Shaloka Halacha, and the Halacha, it's Mutter L'shtamish B'kli B'tzonein always, B'akrai at least. Oh. So, what's so interesting is that L'chora, the biggest Kasha in the Ramah, at least what I thought was the biggest Kasha, the Shach doesn't even ask. The Prima Gadim, though, notes it. And that is from the Ramah himself. If you look at the Ramah in Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph Sif Hey, the Ramah writes explicitly: it's mutar l'shtamish with a kli shel iser davar lach be'akrai. So, I'll read it to you. Im higil kli hatzarech liban as l'shtamish ba'bachamin afilu shulai de'ha'esh. Right, so if you do insufficient tagala or the like. It, or insufficient kashering, so it's a still treif kli. Aval mutar l'shtamish bo tzonein. So here we're talking about something that was definitely bala b'chamin, and still he says it's mutar l'shtamish bo tzonein. Afilu l'chatchila al yedei hadacha v'shifshaf heitev, but he concludes The kol shekein kli shetzar hagala, it's mutter if you didn't do hagala, but dafka b'derech harayi. Like the shach. So, who is the biggest fan of the shach? The Ramah. One, second. But how does that correspond with the Ramah over here? So maybe the answer is the following. Maybe we have to introduce a middle level. Until now, we've talked about two things. Either the kli is clean, or the kli is dirty. And those were the two options. And thus, we didn't understand why the Ramah was so concerned, since the kli was clean. Maybe the Ramah holds that there's three levels. The Ramah holds that for a plate that was used be'isser to actually become totally clean, it's not enough to simply do hadacha. You need to do hadacha v'shif shuf heitev. And that's exactly what he writes in Yoredeya Kuf Chaf Aleph. There he writes, Avo mutter l'shtamesh bot sonein, afilu l'chatchila, al yedei hadacha v'shif shuf heitev. In other words, hadacha is insufficient. You need hadacha v'shif shuf heitev. Now that being the case, the Ramah had a problem. Because, yes, it's true, you're allowed to use a kli, ba'adacha v'shif shuf heitev, but the Bala Itter was machmir. Now, when was the Bala Itter machmir? When you did it, when all you did was hadacha. Now, how do I know? Because the Bala Itter is saying, anything that's darko behadacha is mutter. So you see that hadacha alone is enough. And still the Bala Itter says, l'chatchila, it's aser. So the Bala Itter is saying hadacha alone is insufficient, and still l'chatchila, you have to use the kli. You shouldn't use the kli for heter. And I know the Bala Itter is talking about hadacha, because that's all he mentions. So that's why the Ramah has a problem. The Bala Itter and Etur say that if you do hadacha alone, it's aser, and yet all the other places, let's say in Or Chaim, Tufnan Aleph, it sounds like it's mutter. That's the stira that he's asking. In other words, the we said before that the Ramah understood that the Bala Itter was machmir even if the plate was clean. The answer is no, not clean entirely. Mudach, but not mekunach yafeh, not there was hadacha, but there wasn't shif shuf heitev. So partially clean. That's when the Bala Itter was machmir. So the first answer that the Taras Chatas says is, well, maybe the resolution is very simple. That actually the Bala Itter isn't talking about something that just had kinuach, but something that was totally clean. And that's his first answer. If you look at the Taras Chatas, how does he phrase that first answer? He says, maybe the Bala Itter is talking about imrachat hakli tchila heitev. Right? In other words, you did shif shuf. However, he says, but that he didn't like that answer. Why didn't he like that answer? It's a shtickle dochak, because it sounds like in Simon Sadi Aleph, all we're talking about is kinuach. You don't need shif shuf heitev. And therefore, he had a stira, and therefore, he comes on to all of his other answers. So therefore, his conclusion is that you could only be mekel if it's yavesh and lo bala ela betzonein. And in that case, the concern is much smaller and will be mekel lechatchila even with hadacha. And this answer is, the both the Prima Gadim and the Aruch HaShulchan both sort of say variations on this answer. Maybe it's exactly this answer or a little different. But that would be one approach for the Ramah, which would make the idea that, you know, why the Ramah was so certain that the Bala Itter is a problem much more understandable. So either way, though, l'chora halach l'maisa, we don't paskin like this Ramah. And l'chora, we're also not choshesh like for the Taz. And you could be mekil for kli shebal iser b'tzonein, at least for akrai. So for example, you go to a hotel, go to stay over at the Sheraton, and they have a continental breakfast. But it's a nice hotel, so they're not going to give you paper plates and paper bowls. Paper bowls and plastic spoons. They only have nice porcelain bowls and metal spoons. So now these bowls are definitely bala b'chamin, right? Last night they were used for clam chowder, and the spoons were also used for clam chowder, so they're bala b'chamin. So you're allowed to use it. Now you know the food is kosher, right? It's Cheerios, it's milk. Cheerios and milk are kosher. So you're allowed to have your bowl of Cheerios and milk in these treif kelim. So if you learn like the Pashtus of the Ramah, it should be usher. If you learn like the Taz, it's usher, right? Because it's dafer lach, cereal and milk. If you learn like the Shach, it's mutter both in arai. If you learn like the Rashba, it would be usher because it's klicheres. So I think the Velt is mako. The Badi Yashulchan tries to be medayik. It's only mutter be'akrai beveso shel akum. So that would apply here. So therefore, I think the Velt is mako. You should make sure that, like we saw in the Ramah, that the bowl is truly clean, right?
Should I ask for a paper bowl?
If you want to, you can. It's definitely, as we see, there are many gedolei achronim that are machmir, but I think that if you don't want to ask them for a plastic bowl, one could be mako. So this comes up all the time. You're at relatives that don't keep kosher, or at a hotel, or whatever it is, a business meeting, and assuming that it's clean and truly clean and cold. So I think we're mako. Now, where, by the way, does this idea of ofen kavua come up? This chiluk between akrai and kavua, which the Shach mentions. Take a look at the tour in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph. He cites a machlokas between the Rashba and Ri. If they're talking about tefilas kelim, if you need to do hagalah before tefila or not. But Toch Dvarav, the Darkei Moshe, writes that the Ri holds that it's mutter l'shtamish b'kli shel iser l'tzonein af b'ofen kavua, and he thinks that's the mashmos of the tour. So this chumrah that it's only mutter b'akrai is not all rishonim. The tour and the Ri are mako. If you look at the Ran in Chulin Mem on the base, so the Ran holds there's a chiluk between kli cheres and shar kelim. Kli cheres is aser, because gzeira shem yishtamshu bo afilu betzonin shem yishtamshu bo b'chamin. He brings a raya, that's how he explains the Gemara in Chulin Kuf Yud Aleph on the base, by hahi pincha, right? Why did they break it? Why didn't they just use a betzonin? The answer is because we're machmir for tzonin, for cheres kavua, and that's also why they used to break the kelim for Pesach on Pesach and Daf Lamed Amid Aleph. That's the way the Ran holds. Because other things you're not going to be mishar because you'll kasher it. In other words, if you go ahead, I have a treif metal plea. Okay, so today, tomorrow I'll use it, and when I get around to kashering it in 2 or 3 days, so then I'll be fine. But this becheres, I can never kasher it. So we're afraid that, okay, now I'm going to remember it's treif, but 3 months from now I'm going to forget. And I'll take it. So therefore, the Ran says the concern is more over there. Okay, we're machmir for all kelim be'ofen arai, and not just for cheres like the Ran. But if you take a look in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph, that's where this discussion and the makoros for this come up. Yeah.
What about if like using the glasses in a hotel, if they put a lemon on it? Would that be an issue?
All right, well, let's think about it. So you're saying that the lemon is treif. Your concern as follows, right? Why? Because we didn't get up to Davar Charif yet. We keep on talking about Davar Charif before we actually learn it. But your concern is the following, that if they used a treif knife, and lemon is charif, so basically the lemon has glios of non-kosher in it, and then when they squeeze it into your water is a problem. So it makes sense to be machmir. So how is the, many people are mako, what are they somech on? They're somech on the following kula, which we'll get to, it's actually in the Shulchan Aruch, which is that if they just cut one lemon, so you're right. But mistama, they cut 100 lemons, or a dozen lemons at a time. They don't just cut one at a time. And therefore, maybe the first couple are treif, but then they're bittel b'rov, yavish b'yavish, chad b'trei batel, and therefore odds are that the lemon you have in your cup is okay. So, but we'll talk about that later. Is that something that you should rely on l'chatchila? Or no, better to drink the water without the lemon. So we'll get there. Yeah, you're saying according to the Ramah, glass would be mutter. In other words, certainly according to the Shach. But even according to the Ramah, glass might be mutter.
It's lach.
It was according to the Taz, it would be mutter.
Right.
According to the Ramah, yeah. I mean, Pashup Shad is it's kosher. Right? So, but we'll talk about that also later. Yeah.
For these purposes, how cold is cold? Is it Yad Zoletisbo? What about heated bowls?
I would assume cold means anything less than Yad Zoletisbo.
Which generally by forks is going to be anything. I mean, it would be pretty useless to have a fork that's not.
That doesn't answer your question. What's your question?
So then when you pick up the forks at these places, they're not always cold. So then they're warm.
Okay.
Now, they're not Yad Zoletisbo, because if you had a fork that's Yad Zoletisbo, it'd be pretty useless.
Right.
But that would still be considered cold.
I would assume. Well, right, we're talking about having your Cheerios and milk.
Or you want to use your spoon for
that? Right, for something cold.
Right, again, but let's say you're saying
you want to have Cheerios and milk at the Sheraton, and you're saying that the bowl is still warm because it came out of the dishwasher
right.
5 minutes ago.
It's not even using for something cold.
Right, I would think. Okay, fine. A couple ha'aros on the Taz. Taz in Sifkat and Aleph writes that it's pasha that if you needed to do hadacha and you didn't do hadacha, you were mevashalit, there would be no iser. And he brings a raya. He says, even when it comes to a klipa, we saw earlier, it's quoted later now, it's sifdalit, but we saw it a while back, that there's a machlokas haposkim, what's the din if bidiyaved, you are mevashalit without taking the klipa. So if by klipa there's a tzad, it's mutter b'diavad, so then kol shekein l'inyan hadacha. Now, the Taz didn't actually explain this kol shekein. The Chavos Das says maybe there's two reasons to understand this kol shekein. It sounds like he understands that hadacha is only a chumra, or that even if it's medina, because we're a choshesh that a mashu was nidbak, but there's vade going to be shishim levatlo, and therefore it's mutter b'diavad. And he writes, that's what the Rashba writes in Torah Habayis, Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. He gives, it's interesting, he says, there's a nafkamina between the two answers, right? Again, the Chavos Das says, why is it mutter b'diaved? First answer is because it's only a chumra. Second of all, because there's only always going to be shishim. Nafkamina would be if you had an iser mashehu and you were chayiv to do hadacha and you failed to do hadacha, right? If it's a... If the first reason is correct, it's only a chumra, so then it would be mutter even for Nisr Mashu. If the second reason is correct, that hadachas mikr hadin, because we're choshesh that a little bit remain, so then it would be asr for Nisr Mashu. But I thought that the hanacha of the Taz is a little not so pashut, because maybe there's a lot of stuff there. In other words, it's true hadacha gets it off, but who says it's a little bit? How could you bring a kava chomer from klipa? Klipa means a tiny amount was absorbed. Okay? So since a tiny amount is absorbed, so many say that b'diavad it's mutter, because it'll always be bato. But here, just because hadacha is sufficient doesn't mean that there isn't a lot. Maybe a lot got on. Maybe there's a residue that was rather extensive that if you wash it off, it will be mutter. So the Prima Gadim says that the Taz is based off of the tour that says it's usher to put, let's say, milchix on a fleshik kli if ain darko b'hadacha. And the Taz is l'shitaso, that he's talking about a kli that's washed, right? Even if it's not mudach, it's at least mechunachas. And since he understood that the tour, l'shitaso, was ushering and requiring hadacha for a plate that was cleaned, mostly cleaned, right, like we said, mekunach, but not super clean, so then it'll only be a little bit of mashu left, right? And in that case, we'll assume for sure, b'diavad, if you cooked it, it will be mutter. So the Prima Gadim says that this Taz is only l'shitaso. It's only because the Taz assumed that we're talking about a plate that's basically cleaned that he said, b'diavad, it's always going to be mutter. Oh. Now, if you look at the Taz Sifkat and Beis, he quotes the Marshal. Marshal says that the travelers that stay at taverns and inns. Wasn't quite the Sheraton, but whatever it was that they were staying at. So when you go to a Gaish tavern, what are you gonna eat? So they don't have Cheerios and milk. So you'll get some pickles and herring. Ah, says big problem. Pickles, herring. Oh my gosh! You put them on your treif on the treif plates, and they're gonna become aser. Says Mishlama the pickle. Okay, so you can wash it off. But what about the pickle juice? Ah, this is a big problem, says the Taz, quoting the Marshal. The pickle juice is a big problem. What they do is wrong. Lo yafe osim. Then he says, maybe there's so many chasad ha, could be ever dummy. But that doesn't help for the pickle juice. So when you read this Taz and this Marshal, it sounds like he's saying that b'dieved, the pickle juice becomes aser. And that point is stated explicitly by the Prima Gadim, Mishpatos Zahav Beis, the Binas Adams, Lamentash. So the question is, Taz Beis is now Soser, Taz Aleph. Taz Aleph says, b'dieved, if you don't do Adacha, it's always mutter. And now comes along Taz Beis and says, b'dieved, if you can't do Adacha, it's Aser. This pickle juice is Aser, even b'dieved. So there's, but he doesn't say that it has anything to do with Had Maluach.
Why is he choosing those cases? So
anyway, he's not Choshish for Maluach, right? The Taz isn't Choshish from...
But
we saw the Taz.
It says Lo Yafa Hemos. It could be Lechachila. That could be Lechachila.
He says Lo Yafa Osim, but he sounds like he's saying that the pickle juice is also Midyavet. Let's look at the Taz.
Because that's not the stuff that you can't do Klipa on.
That's true, because you can't do Klipa. And you can't do Adach. But didn't Sefalef, he said it's always Mutter Midyavet? So the... No, in Sif Aleph he said there's always going to be Shishin. That's why it's Mutter B'dieved. By definition, it never Asr's B'dieved. And here he says, at least by the juice, what you can't do Adach, it is Asr B'dieved. So the Chavos Das asked this question. This is the Prima Gandam. The Chavos Das answers that the reason for the Marshal, why does he say the pickle juice is Asr B'dieved? It's because Ein Mevatlan Isr L'Chatchilas, you're not allowed to put the pickle and pickle juice on this plate in the first place. And since b'dieved, you put the pickle juice and the pickle on the kli, kon sin oso, and it's also b'dieved machmas, the knas.
What bittle? What's the bittle here?
Because there's a little bit of treif, right? You're not allowed to use this kli l'chatchila. That's because we're choshesh that there's a bit of treif left. And if you're mevatel, it's l'chatchila, it's also b'dieved. That's the way the Marshal learns. It's a very...
The second, that's another.
Right. So this is assuming that, let's assume that he is concerned that there's a small residue, right? And it will be batel b'shishim, correct?
So this would be another nafkamina for...
Well, this is one of the nafkamina for what?
Because one of the nafkaminas between two answers would be iser mashu.
Right, so he's assuming now the answer that they're iser mashu, and right, so this would be another answer. Good. Batel iser l'chatchila. So that's the way he says it. That's a big chiddush. First of all, not machavin levatel. The shot Taz already said, if you're not machavin levatel, it's mutter, right? I just want to eat my pickle. I'm not machavin levatel, says sir. And even though there he said it's yevsher ben yinah, it's only mutter if it's yevsher ben yinah. Here, this is what I'm going to eat my pickles in my hands. And anyway, and to say the knas here, that's what the Imre Baruch on the Chavos Das says, that really doesn't seem to make any sense. Why? We're not going to continue if you're not machavin levatel. So that's a very difficult answer. So the Prima Gadim gives a different answer. He writes, Mash Oser me melach azalashitase ozayin de pasa kariva hechadi afsher beklipa kulo aser huadin hechadi afsher badacha. The Shach actually holds that since we're going to learn out what was the basis for the Shach's kula and sefalef, a kavachomer from klipa. So dialogo min adin lios kanidam. Since the Shah Taz paskins like the riva, that the makom Shitzach klipa b'dieved, if you didn't do a klipa, it's aser b'dieved, like the Riva, against the Shulchan Aruch. You can't assume they're shishim.
You just said it, Matlas Lechadir is shishim.
I'm sorry?
You just said it with Tomodir.
No, so that's what we have to say, that the Taz is now choshesh, that you can't assume that there is shishim, and therefore if you can't do hadach, it's mutter. And that's what she said in Sif Aleph. The Prima Gadim's hands are tied. He's saying, there's no other way to be miyashev the stira. You could say that the Marshal is against Sif Aleph, but it doesn't sound like that. When he quotes the Marshal in Sif Beis, sounds like he likes it. Okay.
What was he?
He's talking about a case where it's hard. In other words, a chiluk between in the pickle juice. So when you can't, just like we said by klipa, right? So there was a machlokas. If something needed a klipa and it was liquid, so it was iafshar beklipa, so then he would be machmir, I guess. And when it's is that a chiluk that makes any sense? Right, you'd have to be machalik, I suppose. That's a machalik. It's a big chiddush. The Hagos Rabbi Kiva Eger points out on the on this Prima Gadim that it's against the Rashba. So I don't know. I mean, those are the two answers that I saw. It's very difficult. Very difficult. How to miyashiv these two tazes. Fine. Let's just get to the bottom line practical halacha when it comes to these things. So there are, if you take a look at the poskim, the Prima Gadim, the Chavustas, the Archa Shulchan, there are four, maybe we'll call five, dargos as to what you have to do. So, number one, basar v'gvina shenaguz abizeh filu echad mehen lach, or shneim lachin, mutarim legamre, but you need to do hadacha, b'makom nigiyasan. Right? But we paskin at the very least that all you need to do is hadacha and you don't need shifshaf. So basar uvina touch each other, or iser beheter that are similar to basar uvina touch each other. Halacha lemaisa, we paskin, all you need to do is hadacha and that's it. That's when one or both of them are lach. But shneim yaveshim, let's say basar ugvina yaveshim touch each other. So then the shach, sifkat and aleph, points out, you don't need anything. And it doesn't matter if it's raw meat or cooked meat or the like. As long as everything's dry, there's nothing you have to worry about. Azai zak, the shach, sifkat and aleph. Now the chavustas points out that the Ramah must disagree, right? Because the Ramah says even with a plate, even when it's cold, if it was bala b'chamin, it's aser, right? So kol shekain, dry and dry iser v'heter that touch each other, basar v'chalav that touch each other, aser. So in nechanami, maybe the Rama disagrees with the shach, but we paskin lahaka like the shach. That's also the psak of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Prima Gadim says though there's one exception to this, and that's davar charif. Where machmir lechatchila that davar charif yavesh needs hadacha. This is also cited in Pesachei Tshuva Aleph. And this we see really based in the Shulchan Aruch and Sifhei. We're not going to go back to Sifhei now, but in Shulchan Aruch Sifhei it says, v'mhem yaveshim afilu heim meluchim sagi b'hadacha. But the implication is you need hadacha, and we assume that din is not just true for meluchim, but also for any type of charif. So again, if they're both dry, halach lamais, it's always mutter, even without hadacha, with the exception of charif. Okay, then the next category is if one of them are shamein, then we say hadacha isn't enough, you need shifshaf. So this is the pshak of the Prima Gadim, the Aruch HaShulchan. It sounds this way from the Rashba and Tarsa Bayis on Chaf Aleph on the base. The Rashba brought a raya to this from the Sugi and Chul and Chesem at base. It says over there that a tabach needs shalosh sakinin. Why? Because it's shamein. Now, the Chavos Das disagrees with this. He's mekel. He thinks if it's shamein, still hadacha works. How does he deal with the raya from tabach tzarch shalosh sakinim? He says there it's worse, because docha de sakina. Also the base of Ephraim is mekel, cited in the Pesachei Tshuva. But the Prima Gadim is machmer. He says it's mashmer from the Rashba that he's not being choshish alts docha de sakina. He's mashma that it's only alts shamein. And therefore, we're machmir nishayla. So we're machmir that if it's shamein, you need hadacha plus shifshuf, even though everything is cold. That's a good question. I don't know, I didn't see the poskim saying you have to. Like when the Aruch HaShulchan cites these rules, if you take a look at it, he doesn't, if you look, these rules are based off of mostly Aruch HaShulchan, Sifkat Nalef, and he doesn't say anything about being machmir in this case. And finally, if there's dochka de sakina plus shamin, So everybody agrees you need hadacha v'shifshaf heitev ad shivada lo shesar hashamnunis. Right? So that's why, for example, when we talked about a couple weeks ago about buying fish from a non-kosher fish store. So we said if you check the simanim, it should be okay. Right? Let's say you or salmon, so you know for sure this is a kosher species. But what about the problem is that he used a non-kosher knife. So if you give him your own knife, so fine. But let's say you don't have your own fishing knife. It's not so nice to give him like a meat knife, or it's very hard to cut a fish that way. So he used his knife. So maybe I'll say hadacha should be enough, right? Knife's cold, the fish is cold. No, here we're machmir. Why? Because fish are fatty, right? All those healthy fatty oils in your salmon. So fish is shamein. And there's docha de sakina, he's cutting it. So here everybody would agree that hadacha isn't enough. You need hadacha v'shifshuf heitev ad shivada lach shesar shanunet. So practically what would this mean? This is one of the reasons why lechatchila you might not want to do this. But if you did it, or you live in a community that doesn't have, what?
You have like pike's pits in Seattle, you can go and like cut the fish meat.
Right, there are lots of places. So what should you do? So if it's just like a one or two cuts, so you would do hadacha v'shifshuf heitev. So you'd get a brush and you'd scrub your fish. So you say, 1 second, I don't want my fish to look like, you take steel wool like you were suggesting and you scrub, who knows what your fish will look like when it's done. So many poskim are mako, and they say that if you wash it under a very heavy stream, that has the status of shifshuf. And assuming that nothing remains afterwards, then you could be made.
Why can't I do it to his knife before he cuts your fish?
I'm sorry?
Why can't I use a steel wool on his knife?
Well, if he lets me. I'm a ShopRite. You know, there's a long line behind me. I'm not going to start asking him if I could take his knife to the bathroom to wash it off. Right?
Wait.
So, okay, that's one ASAP. The truth is that if someone lives in a community where they don't have a kosher fish market, it is kedai to invest in your own fish cutting knife. They're expensive. They cost $70, $80. And then every time you go to the fish market, you could just simply, you know, watch him cut it, give him your own knife, make sure that he lines the cutting board beforehand, but that they're willing to do. And then that would solve the problem. Obviously, again, if you live, Baruch Hashem, in the communities that we all live in nowadays, it's easy enough to simply get fish with a hechsher. One doesn't need to bother with all these hamtsaot. And finally, one other point, which we'll get to later, which is if you need hadacha and you can't do hadacha like it's soft, so we'll see in later on, this comes up like kishuin or the pischei tshuva, Sifkat and Dalet writes this is true for bread. So then we say you should do greda, which is the equivalent of shifshuf b'makom shaloshayach shifshuf. Take off a thin layer or the like. Okay, well, we can make an accomplishment. We finished.